We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, this is one of my proudest moments as a father. My 12-year-old requested and made Heggie's Pizza for breakfast. I've got this great little Betty Crocker pizza maker, phenomenal. You have to get one for for pizzas like Heggie's, and there really is no other frozen pizza worth getting. But you don't. I am busting my buttons with pride over that. That's what my daughter wanted, because she knows a good pie when she sees one or eats one. The Heggie's double cheese, phenomenal. And but I'm just so proud that that's what she didn't want. Cereal, she didn't want pancakes, bacon, eggs, any of that. She wanted a Heggie's pizza. So I've trained her well, and she
knows doesn't far fall from the tree.
Or the pie. The pizza pie doesn't fall far from the tree either. All right, now I just used the expression. We're going to talk about a few things here, the MNGOP, but also I want to start off by, I posted something over the weekend, and the reactions, I had to delete one guy's comments because he was trying to set up a fight. I'll meet you wherever you want. One guy was in Texas. The other guy was up here. And the guy up here threatened to call his BLM friends in Texas. So I said, you know what, enough of this. I just deleted his comment that started the whole mess. But I posted this, and if I hadn't deleted all the back and forth with him, it would have had over 200 comments. Anyone who voted for Biden regret it yet, or are you still busting your buttons with pride? And the thing that strikes me is how these people who were Biden supporters, their default is to go after Trump. Trump has nothing to do with this. I had a longtime friend, I've known him for over 40 years, saying, I thought I knew, you know, you were better than this. It's childish. Well, he was a guy that was bashing Trump for, you know, for 4 years. And I still think the world of the guy. But I just, the perspective for people is completely different now than what it was when, when Trump was in. Easy to bash Trump, but Biden, they will defend. And I don't understand how you could defend this president, because he is just, it's so true what people said about him. He doesn't know anything about foreign policy. What he's done in Afghanistan, not only is it shameful, he should be impeached, but he won't be because, you know, he's got his party in power there.
Well, he won't be right now. When the Republicans take over in 2023, he will be impeached probably a couple times. They'll do it two or three times to equal the number of times that they did it to better what the Democrats did with Trump.
But they may not have to do it two or three times if the Republicans get control of the House and the Senate. I mean, the Senate is essentially tied. All it needs is one win.
But you need two-thirds to convict on impeachment. I don't know if they're going to get that. That's going to be a red wave in 2022. I don't think they're going to get that.
Well, but they also can't be petty.
Unless he drives the country further into the ground, there may be some remaining Democrats that have some semblance of a brain that would be willing to take action. I don't know. But, you know, what you said about the Biden supporters that are, you know, the reactions to go to Trump. The interesting thing is I've seen comments critical of the president on Afghanistan from people like Mitt Romney, Meghan McCain, Bill Kristol. And to my response is, y'all voted for him. So this is on you, too.
Yes. Yeah, if you supported him. Know? This is what you
all
get.
All the never Trumpers that were out there are out now complaining about how the Biden administration is handling Afghanistan, which first of all highlights that the real beef with Trump was Trump wasn't always starting wars all over the world. But also it's like blood's on your hand too.
Well, here's the thing that needs to be pointed out. All these people, and again, it's not every one of them who voted for Biden, but their default, as I mentioned, is to blame Trump. And it's Trump's plan. Trump is the one who made this mess with the Taliban in Afghanistan. No, whatever he did, Biden erased what happened at the border. He erased the energy, shut down pipelines. He could have signed an executive order and erased anything about Trump, but they are just so obstinate about it. They will not criticize Biden when it's clear. The fact that he got a question late last week, and he said, this is not the question. He was saying, this is not the question I was supposed to get, because he was thrown by it. And that is shameful, that members of the media would collude with the Biden administration on what questions to ask so they could be vetted and he could be given a response. That's horrible. Yep. This is not media.
Well, back to your point about how, you know, Trump started this whole thing. Well, first of all, I understand that the Trump administration handed the Biden transition team their proposed plan for how they were going to do this withdrawal, and the Biden transition team said thanks but no thanks. Second of all, any of these things, you know, withdrawing from Afghanistan, or you know, these deals supposedly they cut with the Taliban, the even back to the Obama administration with the Iran deal, unless you get the ratification by the Senate, it really doesn't have a legal effect. And any president can undo this. We saw that Trump undid the Iran deal. So if he can do that, Biden can certainly undo, if he didn't like the withdrawal of from Afghanistan, certainly could have undone it. He chose not to. Sticking this on the previous guy, I always joke and say George Washington's the only president that didn't blame his predecessor for for problems in his administration.
He probably blamed King George for a few things.
Could be. But it's a cop-out by Biden to blame the previous administration for this. This is on him. And the way that he withdrew, I heard someone said that, you know, when Trump was going to withdraw troops from Syria, the generals told him that it wasn't feasible at that time. And so he listened to his generals and stood down. They said they have, it was a general then apparently that said, I have full confidence that he would have done the same thing here, that if the Taliban would have started to move in faster than what they were supposed to, or took over areas that they had agreed not to take over, Trump would have had the military turn around and you know, go lights out.
I have said I voted for Trump, but he lost me with how he handled his exit from the presidency with January 6th and what he did to Pence, how he threw him under the bus. So I hope there's a better alternative than him for the Republicans when they go at it again. But to me, Biden is either he is having major cognitive issues, or he's the weakest, most ineffective president we've ever seen, and that's only in, you know, a matter of months.
Could be both.
Well, it could be both. Yeah. Wasn't it somebody from Obama's team, one of his top guys, talking about how he could? Well, it was even Obama on how he could screw up about a one.
Yeah, the two famous quotes Obama said in 2016: "Don't underestimate Joe's ability to f things up." And Robert Gates, Obama's defense secretary, said that Biden has been wrong on every major foreign policy issue in the last 20 years.
And he proves that once again. And also, our allies have turned on the United States or on him. They're criticizing him.
Well, here's the funny thing. There's a story that leaked out somewhere. This, I think it was relatively recent. I saw it online this weekend. Osama bin Laden had launched an assassination plot against Barack Obama before this Navy SEALs found him, because he felt that if he took out Obama, Biden would be a weak and ineffective leader. I'm like, well, apparently the world's most deadliest terrorist was smarter than 81 million Americans.
Well, you know what? It's unfortunate. There was such hatred for Trump by a number of people. They would have voted for which they proved. They voted for anyone.
Yeah. I'm thinking that Ron DeSantis is going to be the nominee in 2024 for a variety of reasons. I think at 78 years old at that point, I think Trump will have decided that it's not, you know, we're not going to do it again. But I think that Trump inflames passions on the other side that other candidates don't. And you can get the same.
See, but DeSantis, he's going to be painted. He has a tough thing with COVID now, of what's happening in Florida with COVID. That's not going to help him. I think a guy, I certainly have been following since he started his career in Congress. I think Dan Crenshaw could be a star in the Republican Party and be suitable and acceptable for many Democrats. But we'll have to see how that works out. Hey, we need to shift the gears here and talk about the MNGOP. Jennifer Carnahan is out. They will name a successor. And how far back did she set this party?
Pretty far, and not for the reasons that a lot of people think. Clearly, we see why the party was winless in two consecutive general election cycles and statewide races, because that wasn't the point of you know, recruiting electable candidates and getting them, you know, the resources they need. You know, she's taken $145,000 plus commission as salary.
Commission, yes, 10% commission on all the money that came in, right, that she got?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not aware of any chair prior to her that took that kind of money out of the party. The point of raising money is to use it for to help candidates
yes.
get elected, and they weren't doing that.
Did they rescind her? Did they rescind that severance she got? There was talk of that.
No,
being
they,
a meeting
I,
for that.
Well, I think what they, as I understand, is that the executive committee met without her over the weekend. I'm sure they conferred with counsel and decided that the cheapest. This was probably the smartest way to go was to give her the 3 month severance and get her out of there, because there's going to be more house cleaning, because you need 2/3 of the executive committee, which is 15 members, to remove her. They didn't. The reason she ended up getting severance is because they had to accept a voluntary resignation because there wasn't 2/3 of the executive committee after all that that came out last week. There wasn't 2/3 willing to vote to remove
well, those,
her. That's why they ended up in the position they did.
Those people who
Two
voted
of those
for
people
her
have already resigned. There will be more.
They
I'm
need
sure
to go. Everyone who supported her needs to be gone, because that's a you know
Absolutely.
That's not a good situation. So is she technically still running it? Was it like effective the end of the month or effective immediately?
I think it was effective immediately. I believe that Carlton Crawford, who's the deputy chair, is currently serving as the interim chair.
Okay.
But there will be an election soon. The state central committee votes on that. I know that Mark Curran, the state senator that ran against her earlier this year, is running again, because there was some talk about, you know, was running around bragging about hitting 67% of the delegates of the state central vote last spring. But now we find out she had all these former employees under non-disclosure agreements, so they couldn't talk and say anything bad about her. Hence why when you squelch your, you know, any opposition messaging, sure,
yep.
you're going to get 67%.
Of course.
But here, Bob, this is the biggest problem that she's created for the party. And a lot of the allegations and the stories that came out last week were from young women who had been involved in college Republicans. And for whatever reason, Carnahan really targeted the college Republicans and women in the college Republicans on, you know, they bore the brunt of her wrath and are the ones that have stepped away from the party. And there's some others that were men that stepped away too. But that organization is extremely vital to the long-term health of the Republican Party. I started out as a college Republican. I was the state chair at one point. I know what kind of opportunities you get when you are in that position, and instead she went the opposite way.
She trashed
and
him.
And she was in there for 5 years. So we've got 5 years of college students that are probably have walked away from this, that I don't need this, that aren't involved as party staff, as campaign operatives, as candidates. And that's going to be the biggest thing, is trying to get in. And she,
well,
they were no longer a recognized affiliate of the Republican Party.
Well,
So there's some work to be done.
Let's hope that they decide to come back in. Jeff, greatly appreciate it. Jeff O'Brien, Chestnut Cambrone is where he's at. If you need to reach him, you can we'll give an email.
JOBRIEN at CCLAWMN.com.
If you and he's, by the way, he's the best guy you can go to if you happen to have a craft brewery or a distillery. He is your man. He could help you out on other things, whether it's real estate. He helped, helped me set up a foundation. So he's very good at what he does, and he does a lot. All right, we'll take a quick break, and the BS show will be right back.